Chapter 1. In the small city of Scranton, the dawns of light rippled through the cobbled streets. The first signs of life started to stir as the city's inhabitants awoke from their slumber. Merchants began setting up their carts in the streets to ready themselves to peddle their wares to the people of the city. The smell of fresh baked goods hung in the air with its tempting aroma. Off in the distance, the sound of a dog barked at a passerby. A man in a fine tweed suit walked along the quiet, empty streets, making his way to the center of town. The business district began filling with eager city dwellers, ready to start their day. Merchants began shouting their calls as shops started to open their doors for business. Scranton was not your typical city, as some might assume from a first glance. As it was, the city of Scranton held many secrets, secrets held by most of its citizens. In fact, if there were ever a place to be considered otherworldly, it would be Scranton. If one were ever to walk the streets and feel an anomaly of paranormal, they would be right in their assumption. For Scranton was home to many supernatural anomalies. It's people that lived here themselves had made Scranton their home, people that only wanted a normal life and a place they could raise their children. Some people may call them shapeshifters, skinwalkers, or even wares. Scranton had all of those, and even a few of the undead. But no one would have guessed looking at the hard-working, humble townspeople, unless you knew the truth. John Sloan just happened to be one of those very people of Scranton, born and raised within the city limits. John had a secret of his own, a secret that would carry him to the destination he was heading now. John hurried into the little corner shop in the heart of the city. Today he would be meeting with his business partner to discuss the plans of expanding their business. John was a wealthy man who had made his fortune in honey. The commodity sold very well, and the shelf life of the product appealed to the people and companies he sold it to. Walking in and sitting down at a small table in the corner of the establishment, John greeted the man that had already found a seat beside him. Exchanging pleasantries, they then went over the business at hand.
"I see you have already done a lot of research on the business. What have you found out about the owner? Do you think they will sell?"
Clasping his hands together and resting them on the table in front of him, John's partner half-smiled.
"That would be the main issue that we would face, John. I don't believe the owner is interested in selling. As for the about part, the owner is a Miss Crystal Nelzala, who happens to be a very wealthy woman."
John laughed.
"You and I know that everything has a price. We would offer her a very hefty sale that could only grow her fortune."
"That would be another problem. She refuses to see anyone, and she's even harder to track down. But there is one place you may find her, and I may just have a plan that would work to our advantage."
John leaned forward with interest.
"I'm listening."
Lowering his voice an octave and looking around to be sure their conversation was not falling on prying ears, the man continued.
"I have heard a few rumors about our dear Miss Nelzala."
John leaned in closer.
"Yes?" "It would appear our Miss Nelzala may have, shall we say, sticky fingers. It seems she likes to borrow without returning." "So, she's a thief? So you think threatening to expose her would give her cause to change her mind into selling? Now, you know I would not stoop to such devious deceptions to further my own wealth, old man." "I figured that's what you would say. That's why I took the liberty to obtain a list of this year's functions. I'm positive that is where you will find her. This will be your best chance of speaking with her." "So, when do I plan on attending these functions?"
His partner took the folded paper from his pocket and slid it across the table towards John.
"Do try to dress accordingly. I myself believe you have too much of an obsession with those dreadful tweed suits of yours."
Taking the paper from his partner, John gave him a tilt of the head.
"Lay off the tweed suits. There is nothing wrong with comfort."
Glancing over the contents of the paper, John retrieved the pocket watch from his coat. "Tonight,